Let me just share with you a few words that God has inspired me to share with you about healing. I'm inspired this morning to ask you this question. Do you know how to rest? Can you do something with me? Try this. I want to hear you do this. Ready? You know, like let it fall. Ready? Fascinating in our culture. This is Sabbath. I don't know whether you see this as your Sabbath day, but this is Sabbath for Christians. So our Sabbath, I was thinking this morning that it's fascinating what's happened with Sabbath. Because do you remember what happened the first Sabbath? What did God do? He provided manna on Friday. How much? Two times. Have you found any cash this morning? On your way to church, have you found $100 bills at all lying on the ground that God provided for you? That's what he did. On Fridays, he gave twice as much of what he supplied. So on their Sabbath, on Saturdays, they didn't have to do any work. And what was the principal driver? God has supplied for you. To thank him and to be joyful in his presence. But one thing we've done in our culture, I don't know about you, but certainly for me, I felt this tension, is that work is no longer the stressor. Leisure is. Do you resonate with that? I would say generally in Canada, United States, and North America, it is not our workload, which is highly regulated based on our good laws that are in effect, of how much we work, the breaks that we have. I'm not very good at taking coffee breaks. I often drink coffee while I work, but God's kind of said to me, you know, everyone else gets a coffee break, 15 minutes to just chill. Why don't you do that? Walk with me. I thought, well, good idea. The challenge I think we have is our leisure time. Have you felt that? You're finished work and all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I got to get busy now because I got to do this. It's your time off and which gives you probably more stress than actually your time working. Does that make sense? So therefore, my challenge and what's been on my heart, especially through the leadership retreat that we had, is that I, as your pastor, want you to rest on Sunday mornings. I think this is a great reminder to come here and say, I'm receiving everything the Lord will give to me to supply me to rest, to heal. And if you're anything like me, we always have better offers. Maybe five better offers. And the things, when we look outside and see the weather on Sunday morning, and it's a beautiful day, well, the beach is calling. My family's calling. What I really like to do, go on for a 5K run. Well, not so much for me, but if you want to go for a 5K run this morning, this is the Bay Cell Heart and Stroke 5K run. There's many things you could do in Toronto today. So many that I think you and I struggle with not Sabbath being challenged by work, but being challenged by leisure. So I encourage you to, let's do it once again. God has given you the right to rest, and by giving you the right to rest, he's given you the right to heal. Because rest and healing go together. We know that. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our dads, go to bed. Rest. You'll feel better. Is that okay that I said that? Does that make sense? The biggest challenge for us now in this society is actually to say no to things that take away our Sabbath rest. Because you probably have five of them at the same time. The biggest challenge is for us to say no. No, I've decided not to go to this event because I want to rest. We're going to talk about rest and we're talking about healing. We've been talking about holistic healing in the last number of weeks. What's holistic healing? Holistic healing is healing of your soul, your heart, your emotions, your mind, your body, and your relationships. And you know as well or better than I do that all those things interact together. And so your healing, you could say one part of you, I just want my thumb to heal because I jammed it with a hammer. There's all other kinds of things going on there, because if I'm fighting with my wife and my sons, and if I'm running about stressed out, and I'm overwhelmed with emotions, my heart is saying, hey, wait a minute. If you want me to heal, you've got to get the other things in order too. So holistically, healing is far more than just, I have a sore thumb. It's much greater than that. We're still to speak. We've spoken, and the messages have been recorded about healing of your soul. Healing of your soul happens instantaneously as soon as you turn to Christ and fully yield to Him. Your soul is healed. You're ready for heaven. God's done that through this sacrifice that Christ made. He has made your soul completely healed at the point of your yielding to Him. Nothing further required. What else do you have to do? Proof? Thief on the cross. That's the proof. Your soul is healed instantaneously when you yield to Him. We talked also about healing your mind, what you feed into your mind and your understandings of life, your worldview, what you believe, and your heart emotions we've talked about. We're going to talk about in the next couple weeks healing of your body and healing of your relationships. Perhaps the biggest areas of when we think about healing is just heal my body, heal my relationships. The hardest, I would say, is the last two. But certainly through this, there's only really, really one way that we experience healing. There's only one source of healing, and that's the one who made us, blessing us with everything from lifestyle healing, from His word, that we do His will, word and His will and His way, and we heal from that, to miraculous, instantaneous healing in which we share stories about. First, let's take a look. You're sitting in the great physician's assessment room. As we looked a couple weeks ago, one of the diseases in our culture, skepticism, is you saying, I don't believe that, to everything in life. That's skepticism. And as a human being, you've got to stand up and believe in something. If you're skeptic for everything, there's nothing you believe in. So we talked a little bit about how skepticism is the great Canadian illness. It's fueled by other things that are on the board there, but we can protect ourselves against skepticism. And we think of ourselves in the great physician's assessment room. We moved last week to the waiting room. Now we're in the assessment room. Here's the challenge. If we're assessed by a great physician and he asks us, would you like to be healed? If we say yes, we've got to be willing to accept his prescription. The needle, perhaps. The change in lifestyle, perhaps. The medication, perhaps. The surgery, perhaps. But if we're in that room, we have to be willing to accept His love. We have to be willing to accept His word, right here. Finite form, easy for us to access on our phones. We have to accept His word, which brings us to His ways. We understand His word, we understand His ways, and brings us to the specific prayers we have for, and that is His will. What is your will for me, Lord, in this situation? But I thought this morning we could take a look at Psalm 116. If you have your Bibles and want to look at Psalm 116, Psalm 116 is one of those great echoes from the past, because Psalm 116 speaks about that which we crave in a timeless way. We could have perhaps different language, but a musician could probably rewrite this song, this psalm, because it's impacted all humanity at all times. Psalm 116, verse 1 says this. You can read this with me if you'd like. Your choice. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. Why? Well, the cords of death have entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Do you see what happened in the first kind of parts of that? The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave, that's physical death. We all wrestle with that. Am I going to die because of this? That's your body dying, right? He's talking about your physical body, the cords of death, the anguish of the grave. But then he changes and he says, I was overcome by what? Distress and sorrow. That's emotions. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. What is he talking about? He's talking about emotional sickness. Physical sickness, emotional, it's interconnected. His response to the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. What is his prescription for himself? Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You get that? He adds one more to that. He says, you, Lord, have delivered me from death. I'm not going to physically stop breathing or have a heart attack. He's delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, emotional pain, and that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's emotional, or so that's intellectual healing. Do you see that? He's responding back to God and saying, my feet from stumbling as I walk in the land of the living. He continues, I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. My worldview, my philosophy, how I process life with my brain is wrong. Intellectual sickness. The psalm turns and he asks the question, what shall I return to the Lord for all the goodness he has given to me? God has healed you. Are you alive? If you're unsure about this question, pinch yourself. Are you alive today? Yes. God has healed you. What we start with a position in our lives is that God has already walked with us. He has already healed us. I wrestle with the fact that I can't see it as well as I'd like to. The healing that he's done, the times angels have been by my bedside healing me, and I didn't even know it. But the question that David wrestles with here is, well, how can I repay God, the great physician? What is the amount, what is the way that my OHIP pays for this work that he's done with me? He answers his own question. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows in the Lord and in the presence of all his people. Lift up the cup of salvation, which, isn't that what we did? We didn't just lift up the cup of salvation that God has healed us. We lifted up the cup of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. It's not something we have to do every week. It's not something we have to every once in the covenant and you got it. That's the cup of salvation. David's cup was the cup. Our cup is the cup. I've lifted up the cup of salvation and pray. Call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows. What God has asked you to do, to live for him, which is fairly clear in God's word, generally and specifically, what God has asked you to do, have you done it? David says here, for the healing that he's done with us, our good response is, I'll do what you ask me, Lord. Love one another, number one. I'll do what you want. In the presence of all his people. Social healing. He says this audacious statement that shocks me, perhaps shocks you. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. What? God holds it dear when we die? Yeah? Precious in the sight. Why would David jump to that? Why would he say that? Doesn't that interrupt the whole song? No, it flows completely through. When we die, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Being faithful to him until we die means what? Means then we stand before him face to face. It's the greatest day for him. Why? Because he gets to see us face to face. That's the hope. That's the greatest hope we live with, is that when this life is over, all of a sudden everything changes. No more pain, no more struggling, no more death. We are standing before the Lord of the universe and we have the right to stand there. Whoa. I hope that in some ways that makes you crave your last breath. Because after that's done, this is precious time with God. That's next. Truly, he says, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains, healed me. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, in the courts of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Wow. That's rich. That's powerful. That's timeless. Does Jesus Christ have the power to heal you? Absolutely. He proved it several times. He's probably proven it in your own life. I'm going to ask if anyone wants to share testimonies or stories about that. But let me ask you this. Have you in your life, do you have a report that's similar to David? Can you say, I love the Lord for he heard my voice? Can you say the Lord is gracious and he's compassionate, he's righteous? Can you say he's delivered you from death? That he's freed you from your chains? A little while ago, I heard of a hospital that was removing its chaplaincy department because the head of the hospital or the group that overruled it said, well, spirituality doesn't matter here. And I was aghast because God is in the hospital all the time. God works through our physicians and our nurses. He, as Tran said, he's around us all the time. He loves us. He has the power to heal us. He heals all the time in accordance with his word, his will, and his way. He will define your healing because some things, just like the book of Job, he wants you to go through and learn things from him. Even though your illness, perhaps, sickness, continues. We have our desires to see how we're fixed. God says, I got a better plan. He has a definition of healing. We can ask. I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray together. There's a couple times in what I want to pray that if you want to repeat after me, please feel free to do so. We do want God's will to be done, and we do want him to be working through us so we see his hand of mercy and love and healing impact our world, just like you've heard. I don't know where we're going in the next few weeks in terms of healing. God is directing that path, and that's the best thing for us to do as a church is actually to have his will be done as we pray. So let's pray together, and if you feel like, man, you've got to pray some things between you and God and whisper them out, just go ahead. That does not impact our prayer. If you find that you don't know what I'm saying anymore because you're in your own prayers, great. Let's pray to God. Let's pray. God, you're here, and we so much desire as the proverb said, as the psalm said, to be seeing you face to face. But this life that we live, this blessed life that we live, blessed because you have ordained us to live life, I thank you, our loving Father God, our Savior Lord Jesus Christ, divine Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll bind evil in our life, that you will release us from oppression right now if you're willing, that you'll release us from affliction. We proclaim that evil has been defeated by the power of Jesus' shed blood. Jesus is Lord. Evil has no place amongst us. I pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to guide and direct us so that evil will run from us and that we ourselves will not welcome evil into our lives in the many different ways that he tempts us. I thank you. We thank you for your love, healing our soul, our minds, our hearts, our body, our relationships. I thank you, Lord God, for all of those who have shared in their own life and the life of others. We thank you for your healing. We want more of it, sometimes selfishly because we want to feel better and we want to see others feel better. But in your will and in your way, we want to see you glorified. I pray, Lord God, that you will forgive us for our lack of faith, the rebellion of our will, sin that can be practiced so easily. Have mercy on us. God, we belong to you, as does all that exists. We belong to you. We are yours. We need your life every moment. We need your love. We yield to you. We join you in our healing. If you want to, you can repeat after me. God, I'm listening. I want to hear your truth. Thy will be done. We welcome together your will. I request healing. I request a new level of healing. Lord, please give us the ability to love and heal others. Please come. Lord, give us the words to say. Show us your will in healing. We accept the faith that you build in us until we see you face to face. Amen. So let me close with this verse from this passage from 2 Corinthians 5. Christ's love compelled us. He died for all, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. Therefore, in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new you is here. God is reconciling us to himself through Christ. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation to share with others that God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Amen.